The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord. In our first reading today, we have that beautiful story from the first book of Kings about Solomon. God asks him, "What do you want?" He could have asked for anything: wealth, long life, power. But what does he ask for? He asks for wisdom. And I think we all remember the famous story of Solomon the judge. Remember that? Two women brought two children. One was dead, one was alive. They both claimed the living child. And so Solomon said, "Well, I'm going to cut the child in half and give half to each of you to solve this problem." And of course, the real mother stepped forward and said, no, I'd rather the child go to this other woman than be killed." So Solomon, in his wisdom, was able to pick out the real mother of the child. And Solomon also did another great thing. He built the temple to Yahweh in Jerusalem. So, you know, if we think of Solomon in terms of greatness in the Old Testament, at least, probably we think he was a pretty good king, right? He was a skunk. Let me tell you why. Now, he started out good. He did. He really started out good. But over time, he lost his focus on God and was pulled away from the worship of the true God. He married not within the Jewish faith, but outside the Jewish faith. He had 700 wives. That's not wise.
No.
Right, men?
Yes.
And he had 300 concubines. Now, how can one man deal with that many women? And they pulled him away from pure worship. And he let them bring their pagan gods into Israel. He let them build altars. He himself would worship at those altars. He built an altar that eventually was used by later kings of Israel to sacrifice their own children. So he did great evil in the sight of God. Now, in his early life, good stuff, but then he lost his focus. God was not his only choice. All these other things came along, pulled him away from it, and so he did what was evil in the sight of God. So here's a man who started out really well, asking for the right thing, and through his own choice, he strayed from the faith. In the second reading from Paul, we have really the opposite of Solomon. St. Paul's a perfect example of a man who grew in his faithfulness, in his zeal for the Lord, never turning away from the Lord, despite shipwreck, being beaten up, left for dead, stoned, persecuted. He was rejoicing all the time. He was happy because he knew God and God alone was the fulfillment of his desires. So he was willing to go through anything to be faithful to God. And so he says in the reading today, for those who love God, all things work for good. All things work for good. Sickness, shipwrecked, unemployment, whatever. For those who love God, there is nothing that can beat down the faithful individual. Nothing. So here's Paul, who keeps his focus on God, on Jesus alone. And despite all the trials and tribulations he went through, he's rejoicing and thanking God every moment of the time. Are we like Paul? Are we like Solomon? Do we get pulled away from the truth because of all these other things that are going on and these temptations? Or are we focused on Paul? So even in times where we're suffering or we're mourning for other people, we're still saying, no, thank you, God. I rejoice in you because you are in control. And I know even in the worst situation, you bring good out of it. What kind of people are we? And then we go to the gospel today. We have those beautiful parables again, which really are challenging us to say what is important in our lives, and are we really dedicating our lives wholeheartedly to our belief in Jesus Christ. We have the parable of the treasure. Man finds a treasure in the ground. He reburies it, goes out. Does he sell part of his belongings? No, he sells everything and comes back and buys it because he wants that treasure. He's not willing to let it go, so he's willing to sell everything. Now, we may say, that's foolish. No, because this man really wanted this treasure. We have the merchant looking for pearls. Again, he finds one beautiful pearl, and this is his focus, and he wants it. Again, what happens? He goes and sells everything in order to purchase it. If we put that into the context of our faith, are we willing to let go of everything, not just possessions, but even human relationships in order to make sure that we're following the will of God? Not our own willfulness, not patting ourselves on the back because we've done a good job in our lives and so we've got these possessions or we've got this freedom to do this, that, and the other thing. Or do we keep coming back and say, no, it's all about you, God. Because of you, I have these things, and you've given them all to me so that I can show my love for you and my brothers and sisters by generously giving again and again and again, because that's what you do for me. God let go of his divinity, became a human being, did not try to protect his human life. He let people take it, torture him, kill him for us. So Jesus let go of everything to serve us. Do we let go of everything to serve God? Now, the last parable makes it clear that for those who are single-minded, and when it comes to our faith, it's all or nothing. There's no in-between. There's no lukewarm. It's all or nothing. That at the end of time, the good will be separated from the evil. That's the story of the fish in the net. The good fish are taken out and kept. The bad stuff is thrown back, is destroyed. Where will we be? In which group will we be? Are we committed each and every day to keeping Christ as the focus of our lives, the will of God as the focus of our lives, and asking ourselves constantly, okay, is this action, is this thing, is this thing that I want to do coinciding with the will of God? And if it's not, do I say, well, then I'm simply not going to do that? Or to even push ourselves a little bit more and say, you know, what's keeping me back from being more wholehearted when it comes to serving the Lord? Is it my possessions that I'm constantly worried about taking care of? Is money in the bank that I'm worried about? Anything that makes us worry, anything that pulls us away from God, is something we need to confront and ask ourselves if indeed it is pulling us away from our primary focus on the service and love of God and of our neighbor. So it's a real big challenge that we face. Now, again, Solomon, he had everything going for him. Everything. He was a very powerful king, respected by other rulers. He lived in wealth, and yet He was pulled away from his worship of God. St. Paul, on the other hand, is just the opposite story. He was a persecutor of the Christians, and then he underwent conversion. And from that point on, he couldn't do enough for God. He couldn't do enough for God. And he says to us, rejoice always. Rejoice always. In all circumstances, give thanks. That's how committed he was to following Jesus Christ. Are we that committed? Are we so committed that we will stop at nothing in order to be faithful, to let go of whatever it is that might be pulling us away from obeying the commandments of God, the commandment to love God with our whole heart, not just part of our heart or strength or soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we're always challenged each and every day, especially when we celebrate the Eucharist, when we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us, letting go of everything so that we could see how to serve the Lord, have the graces of God to be nourished and strengthened, to feed upon his very flesh and blood, so that we could be on fire and zealous with our faith. We're called to ask those questions. Are we really faithful to God? Is God number one in my life? What's going on in my life? What do I have that may be pulling me away from keeping my focus on God and on the will of God? So as you go forth today, think of those questions. And each and every day, especially at the end of the day, take a moment to ask yourself, okay, today, was I really focused on God? Or was I pulled away from it by fear and worry, anxiety? What was I focusing on that really had nothing to do with God or God's will? And tomorrow, what do I need to do to focus a little bit better so that I can be more faithful in following Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the truth, and the life? So let's pray as we continue our Eucharist that, like Paul, we will continue to grow in love of God so that we can see good coming out of everything, and to grow in zeal for the will of God, so that we will deepen our walk with our Lord and Savior.